Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Dharmalore begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
And welcome to the Dharma Lars podcast, the only podcast starring people named Ben and Ralph.
I am not Ben.
That makes me not Ralph.
How's it going?
Well, it's pretty good, seeing as I'm not Ralph.
How was your week?
That was a close fucking call.
Yeah.
My week was good, man.
Crossmate sucks. That's not true.
That's way to bring everyone down within the first 10 seconds. Yeah. Welcome to our shitty life on our podcast, where we're here to commiserate.
How's your week, dude? What happened? I had a
getaway
anniversary.
I had a little getaway. Becky and I got away for the weekend. We went to a restaurant in LA called the Stinking Rose.
You got away to a restaurant?
Yeah, we made it. We made it too.
Wow!
Cops were on our tail the whole time.
It's called the Stinking Rose.
Yeah, it's a garlic themed restaurant. They serve garlic dishes.
Clever.
Yes, and it was delicious.
Awesome.
We ordered like the garlic bread, and instead of it being garlic bread, it was little rolls. And a big fucking tin of garlic that they put like on a candle to keep warm. And you take out these little like whole cloves of garlic. There was like 40 cloves of garlic. And you take them out and spread them on your bread.
Jesus.
It was like in oil and anchovies, which she didn't like.
And you did that for your anniversary?
Yeah, I spread garlic on bread for my anniversary with Becky.
Man, I don't know about getting all that garlic for.
Well, that's the thing.
Anniversary.
We both had it, so it was blocked out. If it was like. Just me eating a shitload of garlic for our anniversary, that would have been a bad scene for her.
So I'd spend the night crying.
You don't like garlic?
No, the garlic's fine. It's tasty, but Jesus. I mean, seriously, come on.
They have an item on the menu there called the 40 cloves of garlic chicken, which I assume has some number of garlic cloves, but there's no way of knowing precisely how much.
What did you... God,
that's a lot of garlic.
That sounds nuts. There's
They're committed, though. It's not like Applebee's. Have you ever fucking had an apple? Or a bee?
I've had 3 bees and 40 apples.
The 40 apple 3-bee salad. That's eating good in the neighborhood.
So
so what did you do this week?
Nothing.
Jack nothing, huh?
Pretty much.
Just jack-a-lacking around?
What did I do this week? I really didn't do much.
Yeah.
But I watched Lost, so let's talk about that.
Hey, let's have a whole podcast about it.
I spent the whole week trying to think of segues, and that was it. Congratulations.
Your segue was, let's watch Lost.
We watched The Glass Ballerina, which...
The Glass Ballerina.
They could have called this episode The Red Wheelbarrow, for all I care.
It's the second episode in a row where the title doesn't really tie in too much, but,
yeah, but
at least there was a Glass Ballerina.
Yeah.
There wasn't any two cities in last week's episode.
Might have been.
Like, what, one of the cities was where the AA meeting was, and the other city was where the hospital is?
Yeah, the AA meeting was in, like, Santa Monica.
That's true. In LA, there are a lot of cities right the hell next to each other, so. A tale of two cities bordering each other that's sharing a 7-Eleven.
But what'd you think of the Glass Ballerina?
I thought that I saw her little glass ass.
Forget about the object. That
what'd you think of the episode. My bad. it was kind of light.
It was light, but you know what? I really, really enjoyed it.
Really? I was pissed.
I just really enjoyed it.
I was so pissed when I saw her in bed with that dude. When I saw Son in bed with that bald dude.
Did they do it?
Yeah.
He had his pants on.
Every time that we saw James Bond in bed with someone like that, we put a hash mark for him banging that girl.
Anytime there's a girl with a sheet over tatas.
Yeah, or anytime a hotel clerk looks at James Bond, she's considered banged.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they did it, dude.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
I don't... Dude, you know what? Son's kind of a bitch now. I don't like her.
Son's a slut.
Fuck her.
Yeah. Well, he did.
Yeah. Well, I'm done. I mean, who cares if...
Remember last time when we said she was a literary slut? Fuck it.
Normal,
you can drop the literary.
She's a normal slut.
But, you know, I have to say, maybe in her defense or maybe not,
I don't like her anymore.
It's got to be tough to be married to Jen.
Yeah, but I don't like her anymore.
Yeah? It's over? It's over between you two?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, yes, you know, he does seem like... abusive and distant, and maybe she's in a society where she can't actually like file for divorce or whatever, but she still straight up cheated on him.
Do you think it's a possibility that the baby that Son is carrying on the island is Lee's?
Yes, I do think it's a big possibility.
You don't think it's odd that she was on the island for 48 plus days and she just started getting morning sickness?
No, not necessarily. Like a long time. I mean, she could have like an a lot of girls have like non standard cycles. So maybe she didn't notice that she was late. No, not every girl is like clockwork. So
Well,
the morning sickness, true. I mean, but I'm saying it's possible that she could have gone that long without being pregnant, without noticing.
I believe that the baby is not Lee's. And
but
I have
you don't
strong,
think it's Jin's,
I have strong evidence to back this up.
Okay, evidence me away then.
The reason why I don't think Sun got pregnant by Lee is because he gave her a pearl necklace. And I'm sticking to the theory.
Oh man. You just laid it all right out there, dude. Case closed.
There you go.
You've made a very good point. So that dude died.
I know, and he had a pearl necklace in his hand. What does that mean? He was...
Jin was trying to deliver a message any way he could.
That's pretty awesome. Do you think he jumped? Do you think he was pushed?
I don't think Mr. Paik would go up there and push him.
No, it'd be cool.
What's that?
If maybe Mr. Sun's dad.
I say Paik. I've seen it in print. It's P-A-I-K, but I don't think I've heard them say it.
Pike?
Pike? I mean, they probably say it in Korean like 30 times an episode. I just don't pick it out.
Yeah, because I can't even hear when they say Sun, and they put it in the subtitles.
Oh, my God. I wish we could put on real audio, because there's one time where Jin calls her Sun, and I swear to God, it takes 20 seconds for him to say it. Like, the subtitle says Sun, and he's just rambling on for so long.
But I think it would be cool if, like, in the next Jin flashback, we see that Mr. Paik has sent... Paik? Mr. Paik was a hotel owner, right? No. Well, Lee was... forget it. Regardless, I think it would be cool in the next episode if Sun's dad sent someone after Jin to make sure he completed the job.
Like maybe that guy that was going to beat up that secretary dude or kill him, and then Jin decided to beat him up. You know, that dude that Jin was supposed to take over to that guy's house.
Yeah. Like, so like maybe send someone else after Jin to make sure he does the job, and when Jin didn't fulfill his duties, then
go
that other guy killed him.
And defenestrate the hell out of
him. I would love to see the after effects of that, of Jin having to run now. Ryan's coming over here.
So, like, Jin now maybe being accused for what happened, even though he didn't actually do it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, that'd be interesting. I'd like to see that. So, what else? What else happened in this episode? Oh, we learned Henry Gale, Ben's last name.
Ben?
Benjamin Linus.
Now, I have a question for you, Benjamin Johnson.
Yes.
Knowing that you're a Lost nerd and you like to tool around on the internet looking up Lost stuff, did you happen to look up
Benjamin Linus?
Any, what is that, anagrams of Benjamin Linus?
No, I didn't. Did you?
I sure did.
Julius Moneb?
Here's some of the stuff that I thought was Lost related or just flat out fun. In every case that the word Jin is spelled out in these, it's with two N's. So.
Okay, just so you know.
Yes.
That means genie, right?
I have no idea. A num Isle Jin.
Ooh.
So that means like Jin cannot
isle.
Feel on
an
isle.
Okay.
Like Gilligan's Isle.
Interesting.
Lesbian Jin, I thought that was Blame Ginny Sun.
Ooh.
this is one of my favorites. Jab Lime in Nuns.
That would be one of your favorites.
Jab Mule in Sin.
Oh, God. That's just wrong.
Ninja Be Muslin.
Okay.
You know, that's all you know. Yeah. Ninjas happen to be Muslin sometimes.
Ninja can be made out of Muslin. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then this is the last one. Ninja Bun Slime.
So he's named after the butt sweat of a ninja?
The slime. I don't even know what that's composed of. It's probably that stuff that ninjas, you know, slide down the string while people are sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, God. And that comes from
right
the butts? That's doubly worse now.
How would I know, dude? They're stealthy.
That's the worst way to kill someone, is to throw your butt slime down a thread into their mouth while they're sleeping. Thanks, ninjas. Thanks a whole lot.
Good one.
Ninjas.
Buns. I don't like it's bun slime.
I got to tell you, I was really close. I was like afraid that his name was going to be Johnson. Because last week we found out that he already took away my first name and he was like, I'm going to tell you my name now with his creepy voice. Because
there's famous, there's like there's John
Johnson,
Locke. There's a John Locke.
Yeah.
It's a famous thing.
Yeah. So I was like, oh God, no. Oh, please.
And there's an actor named Benjamin Johnson.
Yes. Yes. And a sprinter.
And a podcaster.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah,
it's
so
a shitty podcast.
Yeah, he turned out to be Benjamin Linus, named after Charlie Brown's friend, I'm sure.
Yes.
Unless someone's Linus. Got something better, we're sticking with that.
He's a firsty. Do you think that's his full name, or do you think his last name may be DeGroot?
Benjamin Linus DeGroot? Sounds like
a pretty sweet name to me.
You're saying that maybe because it's a first name, it wasn't his last name.
Like, let's say he went up and introduced...
Hi, I'm Benjamin Eric.
Yeah.
You don't need to know my last name right now.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't even think about that. And the trippiest part of the whole episode, like the only cool lost part, that he'd been on the island his entire life, according to
him. Yes.
That was cool.
That's why I'm thinking he might be a son of a DeGroot.
A son of a DeGroot. Son of a DeGroot. How old would you say that Benjamin Linus is?
Roughly, Ryan, 40? What do you say? Ryan says 35. I say maybe 40.
35, 40. If he's been on the island his whole life, that predates Dharma, right? Because I was...
The island was set up.
Yeah.
And there was an incident on the island.
Okay.
And they made a film by 1980.
In 1980.
Which was 26 years ago.
So they could have been sitting there building all the stuff.
Yes, before prior to the incident.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I have no idea.
What else? We saw... some chick from Deadwood. I know you don't watch it, but
Jane Jack mentioned that. I don't know. So what's
her name? Bet they were stoked.
Macy is her name or something like that.
She's Trixie.
Trixie.
She in one episode of Deadwood, she went to shoot Gerald McRaney's character. I think it's Gerald McRaney, right?
I don't know.
I'm gonna feel stupid if it's
is
like
that Major Dad?
If it's Dabney Coleman or something.
Is that Major Dad?
Yeah, that's Major Dad.
Okay.
I don't know. So she goes to shoot him, and in order to make her way into the hotel without being noticed or remembered later. She takes her top off and walks in there swinging in the wind to distract everyone before she shoots him. So
that's pretty cool.
That was an interesting technique. I heard of a bank robber that pulled the same maneuver one time.
In real life? Or
A topless bank robber, apparently.
I guess it'd be tough to identify her.
That's right. I mean, what are you going to do, have a boob lineup?
Wait
a minute. I think I just witnessed a topless bank robbery. I better call the cops again.
I'm with you.
The third lineup this week.
I was watching Strange Brew recently, and the McKenzie brothers were in a lineup, and they go, there's the lady, Elsinore, whatever, I forget her, Clara, I don't remember her name.
Sure.
She's sitting there in the dark, you know, and the McKenzie brothers walk in the lineup, and there's all kinds of guys dressed with their toques and stuff, and Doug McKenzie goes, hey, that's her.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. That's awesome.
You know what it is, right? Strange Brew?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Just because I don't know what it is.
Just
doesn't mean
I'm lying.
All right.
So what else happened?
You want to go through some of my notes I took?
Sure, yes, because I didn't take any.
Okay. Once again, there's some crazy credits going on in the episode of Lost.
Wait, what?
The credits actually happened prior to the title card Lost this week. Which they usually start up when they come back from the first commercial break. So they're really
was Dominic AAAA Best Monahan
involved? You know what's funny about Dominic Monahan? Because you mentioned last week that that his name was pushed back thanks to Elizabeth Mitchell.
Yes.
Well, this week I noticed it was Elizabeth Mitchell's credit popped up, and then there's some Jin and Sun, or there's some Sun flashback dialogue.
Yes.
To even prolong his credit from showing up even longer, even more.
Oh, because the subtitles were in the way. They couldn't show credits. Oh, man.
So
Monahan is getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
The short end of the drive shaft.
The short end of a, I don't know, Hobbit.
Something
from the movie Hobbit.
This is the way we Hobbit.
The Hobbit. man.
You're getting that flop sweat. You're all right?
I know. Once again, I'm going through my notes out of order, so I'm all over the place.
I took no notes. I'd like to put out, last week I took some notes on a napkin, Last night, all I did was huck my soda can across the room when I saw Sun in bed with that dude.
Really?
I'm pissed.
You were really that upset?
I was really that upset because she had the chance to tell him and she lied to him again.
I'm glad you're upset at her because finally she's interesting.
Yeah, well,
and she's a liar, like nonstop. Like,
yeah,
jeez, Louise.
And she, you know what? She should realize by now how much Jin totally understands English.
Yeah.
Did she not get the Chewie comments?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe she's never seen Star Wars.
She might have.
That'd be a good episode of Lost, is her watching Star Wars for about an hour.
Popo.
For 44 minutes.
Popo is my co-pilot.
Popo?
It means a kiss.
Oh, that's right. That's their little dog's name.
A little Sharpie.
They both call each other Yubo. Like, for a long time, I thought Yubo meant Jin. But then in last night's episode, when she was in the water, he was going, Yubo! Yubo!
Maybe he was looking for a U-boat.
Maybe he was warning her. Be careful.
Civil War craft. A note I have here is, am I interrupting, which your friend Trixie said, and then Elizabeth said, or Elizabeth, I keep calling her, I think
Elizabeth
her name
Mitchell.
Is Elizabeth Mitchell, yeah. Her character, Juliet, says, would it matter if you did? What does that even mean?
I think that means that she knows that Trixie's character is the kind of person that'll just walk in no matter what.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
We talked about this before we started recording. And you were saying how it's a Sun flashback, but I thought it was interesting because I noticed that it was also a Jin flashback episode.
That's true, yeah.
Like, there was parts where you would hear the flashback sound, and it would be Sun's storyline.
And then parts where it would
and
be...
And parts were like, Jin talking to Sun's father.
Yeah.
And that can't be part of Sun's flashback.
You're right.
I thought it was cool that they were able to have the two flashback storylines coincide with what was going on the one island.
On the
story.
One island, yeah.
Like, both of their storylines really fit into the story. I really enjoyed it.
They did a similar thing in, what was it? Was it Collision? What's their episode?
Collision?
Their second season episode where...
No, their second season episode was...
Orientation?
Man, you're way off. You're way off. It's...
Orientation.
No, you keep talking and I can't think. It's In Translation is one of them.
Yeah. Well, there's whatever it is. There's one where it shows her meeting Lee, and at the same time, he's getting a job at the hotel. So it's got flashbacks from both of them in that episode too.
I guess so.
So sometimes it's a Sun episode, sometimes it's a Jin episode, and sometimes it's a Sun Jin.
Yes, this one, it was definitely a Sun Jin.
A Capri Sun.
This is another note I have. Worst wig yet, and I'm even talking about worse than Jack Shepard's wig in Man of Science, Man of Faith.
Wait.
Jin's wig in this episode to make him look like he had shorter hair was heinous.
See, I can't notice stuff like that.
It was so heinous.
People will say, oh, that
was
a really shitty
bad.
Wig. And I'll be like,
it
what
was
wig?
Bad. But normally you could tell from the back. On Jin's, you could tell from the front.
That's not a good sign.
Like, oh, I wish... it sucks. I wish everyone had super wicked long hair in flashbacks, and when they came to the island, they got their hair shaved off.
And that would just make it a lot easier.
Yeah, because the wigs are so horrible.
Like, I understand that Jack's wig was heinous. I can see that. I didn't notice Jin's. But
it was pretty bad. Go back and check it out.
You know what? Maybe there's just no wig shops on Hawaii.
There's got to be a wig shop on Hawaii.
If anyone knows of any wig shops in Hawaii, you know, get their phone number and send it to the producers of Lost.
And tell them to make good ones.
If anyone knows any wig shops in Hawaii, don't use them because they probably suck, apparently.
Our friend Kelly brought up a point yesterday saying your fellow Americans voted in George W. Bush for a second term. I mean, I know that that Henry Gale or Benjamin Linus or whatever.
Right.
I heard that guy. I know I understand that he was born on the island, but to say your fellow Americans,
like, he clearly,
I thought that was strange.
He clearly separates himself from America.
And do you think it's strange to have a copy of the 2004 World Series on hand to show at any given moment? He busted that out really quickly.
He knew who Jack was for since the first season, since he had Ethan send back lists. If they had enough time to find out what happened to Jack's fiance and and that he graduated top of his class at Columbia, then they had enough time to get a tape of the World Series. They probably get stuff like that sent to them all the time so they can keep up.
But what if Jack decided to ask about Christopher Reeve's death? Prove it!
It was probably
would they have a Christopher Reeve's death
No, it's probably a clip tape. Like the Red Sox thing was just the first thing on the tape. And then actually they were watching I love the 2004. Hal Sparks was talking about the Boston Red Sox. And then the next bit is going to be about Christopher Reeve and fucking Michael Ian Black was going to make something smarmy about it. I love the 2004. You're going to sing this?
I'm not going to sing this song. One thing I noticed is the Alex scene, which was very bizarre.
It was.
Was taken directly from a deleted scene from season 2 between Libby and Claire.
And, I haven't gotten to those yet. That's cool.
You should watch them. Apparently Claire. Well, I'm going to give it away.
Go for it.
Claire's
you dick!
Claire's hanging out with Aaron and Libby comes up, says, I like your shirt. Yeah, it used to be mine. No, go ahead, keep it. It looks better on you anyway.
Oh, that's cool.
But it was just a strange. What were they doing in that camp?
They were showing off Kate's ass, which is just as well because she looked pretty beat in the face last night.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if she was just dirty or...
Because they make her look disheveled. Because, people are going to complain if she...
That's
true. They always say, how come Claire always has makeup on? And how come Claire... Well, she needs it to mask her.
She probably has to put a lot on so it doesn't all get sucked into the vortex.
The vortex of her middle face?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, you know what?
According to you.
I'm afraid, according to me.
According to you.
I think she's all right.
What?
I don't know.
I liked that Sawyer was checking out Kate's ass. That was funny.
It was funny. And then when I really need to get. There's too many people being introduced. Who is the other that was being the boss man?
Pickett.
Was his name Pickett?
I think so.
Was it Dennis?
I want to say Pickett. Maybe Dennis is his first name.
Well, the boss man. I liked when he started sort of gawking or making suggestive remarks to Kate. Sawyer kind of laughed and then said, "Hey." You can't say that to her, or whatever he said. I thought that was pretty cool.
I liked that Sawyer was had either done Hard Time or seen Cool Hand Luke.
Yes, I'm assuming.
One of the two.
A dude from the South. I'm sure that dude saw Cool Hand Luke.
Okay, well that's probably it then.
Another thing I noticed in that scene is it's Juliet. I keep
there
wanting to call her Elizabeth really bad.
We need others like trading cards.
Yes, please. I'll trade you all of those for my Kirby Puckett rookie. Okay, she had a gun in the back of her jeans during that scene where Sawyer decides to.
No, a stun gun, right, or a real gun?
She had a real gun.
Okay, because
she held up Kate.
Okay, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. Is there any way that the Dharma Initiative can drop some holsters on the island? Everybody keeps their goddamn gun.
Someone's gonna blow their ass off. One of
someone's
these
gonna freaking make their butt reservoir.
Someone's
going
to go from 1 to 3 assholes. They don't get a fucking holster on that island.
Yeah. Just get anybody. Anybody have a holster? Anybody.
Holsters are awesome, by the way.
They make holsters for Ana Lucia's goddamn stick that she's carrying around.
Yeah.
But they can't make one for the millions of guns that are on the island.
What is the point of tying a boomerang to your stick? Is that in case you fucking lose your stick? You want it to come back to you?
Because you can be like the Grim Reaper.
Oh, so she was doing an impression the whole time?
It was one of those things.
It was just one of those like Halloween costumes, just trying to lighten up the island.
Well, if you have a boomerang,
I'd keep it separate.
Do you know how to throw it?
No. God, no. Have you tried that?
I've seen people try it.
Boomerangs are a
myth. I didn't want to look like an idiot.
There's no such thing as a goddamn boomerang. Because I had one when I was a kid, and we hucked it like 30, 40 times.
Was it a Nerf one?
Those
things work.
It was called a boomerang, but I think it was actually a baseball. we wrote boomerang on it and that shit never came back. No, it was a wooden boomerang, straight from Australia, probably.
That's funny. From the deleted scene where they pick up a crate of boomerangs.
Yeah,
but I mean, a regular stick with a boomerang is better than just a regular stick.
See, I don't think
and
so.
Then a boomerang.
Isn't there like a weakness point where the boomerang's tied on? Like if you try to hit someone with the boomerang, isn't
it
gonna fall off? Huh?
Not if you do it right.
There's a technique to use a boomerang stick.
I'll show you after the podcast.
Sweet.
Keep you informed.
I'll have a fucking hematoma next week. So look out for that, everyone.
Which, by the way, speaking of last week, I lost the fight of whether it was a dream or not, whether the Kate Sawyer kiss was a dream.
Yep, that's right. It wasn't a fake out.
So you win.
Well, speaking of what we're talking about last week on Lost, let's talk about next week on Lost.
Well, one more thing I have to say before, because in my notes, I have one more note down here, and this is something I don't even know the last time I mentioned this. I think I might have mentioned this when we were picking our favorite characters, when Amy asked us which our favorite characters was.
Right.
And I went with Jin, saying that once that dude gets a gun, he's going to be off the hook.
And guess what?
Last night, it finally happened.
And he's got a gun.
And there's only one way to let people know you know how to use a gun. And let's do 5 million things to it.
Yeah,
to load a bullet into the chamber.
Anytime someone gets a gun, they have to fucking be like a drum major with it, twirl it in the air and take it apart.
And you have to make sure when you do it, it's as loud as it can be.
Well, guns are super loud. You can't move a gun without making a cocking noise.
I can't even make a gun sound, so I'm not
you can't
try any harder.
Guns
than
are
that.
Guns and swords are the loudest things in movies ever.
But I swear to you, when I saw Saeed give Jin a gun, yeah. I was just like, I yelled. I was so happy.
It's on.
Because the dude is a hitman.
Yeah.
And we haven't even seen him with a gun in a flashback.
But no,
this
we haven't.
This
is the
first
clearly
time
knows
we've
how to
seen
handle
him
it.
With a gun. Well, clearly.
Clearly. Maybe he went fishing with guns. Maybe
he showed us. Shit.
Yeah, he took it apart. He did that thing. He dropped the slide back and dropped the magazine out. Didn't Otto Lucia go through the same ritual?
He takes the magazine out, puts it back in. That's my favorite part of showing someone how to use a gun.
Oh, yeah. This part comes out here and it goes in there. Yeah, I'm
good. See, I know how to take bullets out and put them in.
Who knew? I like that there's safeties on their stun guns. That's kind of interesting.
Well, they're pocket size.
So
you don't want them going off in your pants.
But you're going to just shove a gun into your fucking ass.
And they have safety, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So no holsters. Now I'm not with you on the holster thing, since guns have safeties.
Yeah, but...
I was with you for like 10 minutes now.
All right, Ben's going back to sticking things in his ass.
That's right.
All right, so as you were saying before...
As I was saying before, speaking of Lost...
speaking of segues...
Let's talk about what's coming up next on Lost.
All right, let's talk about coming up on Lost. The promo for next week's episode looks like we're getting back to the rest of the survivors of Flight 8.
The rest of the camp.
Yeah, we're going to get back to... Locke and Echo and Charlie
and Des.
Looks like Sawyer and Desmond. Desmond, who's naked.
Yeah. We're finally going to see what happened with the three Hatchophiles.
Yeah.
The guys that were all in there when the purple shit went down. Episode 3X03, Further Instructions?
Further Instructions.
I kept pushing for Further Instructions. Finally, it's here.
Yes.
And
yes. But you know what? It seemed like last night's episode was totally self-contained, so I see how they changed it. I enjoyed last night's episode.
I liked it. Yeah, definitely. It was a little light on the mythology, but it was still another good episode of Lost. But yeah, 3X03, Further Instructions, a Locke-centric episode. If I don't miss my guess,
I've heard it's a Locke.
Because I've seen pictures on lost/media.com.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff happened in the preview for next
week? Let's see. We saw Desmond naked.
We saw Desmond naked, and Hurley meets up with him. I guess Hurley's made it to the other side of the island.
Well,
safely.
He's made it to wherever Desmond is, because Desmond and Locke and Echo seem to all be in separate places.
Yeah, Echo looked like he might still be inside.
Or in a cave or something, yeah.
Yeah. Locke throws fireballs.
I don't remember that, really.
You don't remember that? Go back and check it.
That's awesome.
Hadouken some dude. Probably another or smoke monster. Did you hear the smoke monster sound?
Someone said that the monster was coming back, but I don't remember seeing it on the trailer.
I heard it. I think I heard
That's cool.
But I mean, you could put any sound effect in the
trailer.
Trailers.
Like, or you can change the clock, or you can show a dream.
Yeah, but I didn't really notice anything super crazy.
Well, Desmond being naked's pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
we have
nothing.
Can I tell the real actual spoiler?
Yeah,
I have a real actual spoiler for next week on Lost. I heard that that Steven Spielberg is coming on as an executive producer, and that Desmond's weenus is going to be replaced with a walkie-talkie. So look forward to that. Real actual.
I'll
we can't make them
out.
Up.
Was that a spoiler
real
face?
Real actual spoiler face.
Face?
What'd you say?
Spoiler fix.
Fix. Oh, yeah. Fix yourself up on that, people. That makes a lot more sense than face.
Spoilerfix.com is where you get all your Lost info and spoilers.
I thought you were calling me face. Thanks a lot, Howlin' Mad.
Did you enjoy that video?
I did indeed.
Post there, on your...
yeah, it's a mashup between Lost and the A-Team.
It's pretty cool.
It was pretty fun.
So yeah, next week on Lost, further instructions. We'll see what happens.
Look for a rock and roll T-shirt, which I remember seeing from the.
Oh yeah, we saw that in the. You can talk about.
I don't know if it's rock and roll, but look for the Geronimo Jackson shirt. Yeah,
sounds like kind of like
maybe soul.
60s. No, like 60s hippie. Rock.
That's rock then.
Like Mama's been the Papa's type junk.
Oh well, you know how I love that shit. I do actually.
Yeah. Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Oh yeah, that's good shit too. I hope Geronimo Jackson is like Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Mama.
I want to listen to Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I want to listen to
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Bing Crosby, Beverly Sills, Clarence Ducky Nash, and Mighty Joe Young.
What? Mighty Joe Young doesn't sound like that.
I know. My Mighty Joe impression needs work. I'm really sorry about that. I was beating my chest at the time, so that's a step in the right direction.
Give yourself a pearl necklace, sir.
I wasn't beating myself off onto my chest.
Oh, okay.
I could.
Well, that was a beautiful musical rendition.
Thank you. That's right.
I really enjoyed it.
I sold it.
What do you say on that note?
On that note of music.
Let's go to the music section and take it away to Jimmy.
What does Michael Giacchino have in common with Bernard Herrmann and Jerry Goldsmith? Well, quite a lot, it seems. All that and a little bit more coming up on the Darmalar's Lost Score. Back in 1968, Charlton Heston ran half naked through a cornfield surrounded by mute people to this music. Yes, you're listening to Jerry Goldsmith's score from Planet of the Apes from the 1968 film. And in fact, in 1969, he went on to win the Oscar for Best Score for a Motion Picture, which was quite an achievement for a science fiction film at the time. Anyway, this was a track that was heavily referenced in last week's episode, Tale of Two Cities. So, for those of you who tuned in last week and heard us talking about the comparisons between the two scores, if you didn't look into it any further, well, congratulations, you've got a life. But secondly, I have actually got something for you to compare right here. So if we listen now to Sawyer's...
You run that way!
And now compare that to Jerry Goldsmith. Just listen to those staggered piano keys. Okay, back to song.
Say it, Carl.
I think it's fairly safe to say that Carl's a plant, don't you think? I'd put money on it. Anyway, whilst we're comparing those scores, I actually came to a small revelation myself. Watching Kate walk down to the beach to meet Henry Pale certainly jogged my memory of a scene actually in the film Psycho. It was the point of view from Kate as she walked out into the daylight and then down through the unknown path, very, very much like Janet Leigh in Psycho, and when she approached the Bates Motel. Of course, the piece of music that we're talking about is actually titled Kate's Motel, which has got to be a play on words with Bates Motel. So I looked into it, and sure enough, I think if you're going to find any kind of influence of a composer from days gone by, this would be a good example. Now, of course, Bernard Herrmann wrote the Psycho score, as well as many other Hitchcock films. and he's generally regarded as one of the greatest film composers of all time, and here's his work coming in now. So, as you can see, what do you think of that? That's quite some similarity there. I do like the repeating patterns of the strings, although Giacchino's version is somewhat more layered, I think. Herman's strings are considerably barer, but those short, repeating patterns of strings is something that characterizes Herman's work, actually. It's known as ostinati. But anyway, I thought you might enjoy that. Well, Ralph and Ben, I'm sure you'll have plenty of other things to add about the episode The Glass Ballerina. I'll be looking at that next week, and I'll also be picking apart a well-known scene from the Lost finale on Season 2. So, this is Jimmy in Seattle, saying farewell from the Emerald City. Namaste.
All right.
Thank you very much, Seattle Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy. Right now,
one of the things that I thought was interesting is his take on Kate's Motel.
Yes.
From Season 1 of the Lost soundtrack, very much does sound like Bernard Herrmann, specifically Psycho.
Yeah.
Which is, as we know, is the Bates Motel.
You know what? Like, so, I mean, noticed
I that was really cool.
I noticed that mostly because of the visual.
Mostly.
Like, I don't know if you played me the music, if I would have got it, but when I saw that episode, it was shot so visually similar that helped to get my mind in the right mindset.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I totally didn't even notice. I'm a huge Herman fan.
Well, you know, people think of Psycho and they don't think of that part.
Yeah.
You're a huge Herman's Head fan.
I'm a huge
I know that about you.
I'm a huge
Herman and the Hermits fan.
I'm a huge Pee Wee Harris fan. For you Boys Life readers out there.
Pee Wee Harris. I prefer Nun's Life.
All right.
So is that it? Is that it for
the
Darmlars?
That's it for the Darmlars this week.
Do we want to say anything about our rivalry? We haven't talked about those douches.
We haven't talked about our rivalry. I just want to say this, guys. I mean, we hate Malcolm so much, but you should listen to their episodes because you could hear how much they hate us as well.
That's right.
I highly recommend. They're funny. They're really funny on their take on the Darmalars.
The best way to show how much you hate Mayakam is to listen to them.
Yes.
And buy their shit.
Because it's best to know your your enemies.
That's right. Now, that is good advice.
How does the saying go?
You keep your friends close and you listen to those lamos on Mayakam's house.
Yes.
Even closer.
Yes.
That's how the saying goes.
Awesome.
I was going to say right now, I'm in Ralph's apartment recording the podcast, and the apartment across the way, their window's wide open and the light's on, and people were just walking around. Gave me a little voyeur thrill. They're ugly and closed.
This is where I do my writing, and I leave the window open all day.
No wonder you're writing horror films with those ugly people.
They come out every once in a while. Oh, people. And then, because I don't see people all day. And then.
That's sad.
And then it's sad.
You're like, hey, look at that life.
They're wearing a muumuu as featured in Boner Stopper magazine.
101 ways to stop a boner.
I didn't write that. I didn't write that bit. That's for Conan.
But
it's
from
a Conan actual items.
A real actual item.
An actual item, and it was a muumuu. And
you can't make that up.
No, you can't.
He has a staff.
Why would you?
No,
it would waste everyone's time.
That's right. So, guess we can just close it out now, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure, why not?
Did we say enough swears?
Fuck no.
There'll never be enough swears.
Poop, yes. Well, luckily there aren't as many swears in the UL Everybody, which I apologize for the 4 cell phone calls, or the 4 calls from my cell phone.
Yeah, we called our own line, yeah. But, oh, God, I want to say that I listened to the UL Everybody last week, and that one guy cracked my shit up, the dude that was complaining about our cursing.
This, okay, this is something we definitely need to discuss. Me and Ryan, while we're trying to fix the audio for last weekend, thank you everybody for writing in. We're aware of the audio problems, and hopefully there's nothing going on in this one.
That sounded sarcastic. Thank you, everybody, for writing in. We're aware of it.
You know, I love it.
Thanks a lot.
I love it. It's awesome. No, but no, thank you. I'm glad that people are noticing that.
That we suck.
Just listening to us in general, and then caring about the show enough to give us their input.
Yeah, it is constructive criticism.
But me and Ryan, or Ryan and I, we're discussing the call from the old man, which I labeled as old man because I don't know who it was, and trying to figure out if it was real or not. It obviously is not real. I mean, right. I think it's obviously not real.
Right.
Really well done, because I laughed my ass because he ended with God bless, which I thought was really funny. And
it was very, very funny. It was classic comedy.
And we were thinking about calling the number.
But I think that would be betraying a trust.
But we're not going to call a number.
Yeah.
But whoever old man is, call in again. Call the Dharma line.
Okay.
Give us some more. I mean, you don't have to say whether you're legit or not or who you are or anything, but I would like to hear some more old man calls. It was really entertaining.
If you ever have a take about Lost or about the Dharma Lodge that you'd like to share with us, make sure to call in and stay in character.
There you go.
You never get to be yourself again.
And if you're really old, then...
Well done.
Our demographic is sweet.
If you're really old, then at least thank you for swearing. Genuine old man.
Yes, genuine old man.
What else? There was some other cool ones.
There were
someone. Oh, yeah. Someone said that they wanted Rose and Bernard to shoot each other.
To kill each other.
To kill each other, yeah. Well,
wait, was that
shooting
last week
is a good
week?
Way to go. It can't be this week because I haven't listened
You haven't listened to
it? I only listened to the podcast. Hmm. And I thought, you know, that's kind of vindictive. What have they done to, you know, piss people off that much? Do you want to see Rose and Bernard shoot each other off?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, well.
What, doesn't everybody? They're kind of annoying.
Was that your call?
Their bickering is a little much. Unnecessary.
You know, he did forget her birthday.
And cereal goes on the left.
So, basically, he deserves to die.
There we go. Callbacks to our first episode ever.
That's right. All right, well, I guess, do we give out the contact info?
We can give the contact info, but if you are listening to the iTunes feed, the contact info is actually displayed.
Oh, well, good.
But we can give out the contact info to our blind listeners.
That's not funny. Why am I laughing?
I don't know.
But try that again.
What? I thought you were going to say something.
No. You say it.
But for all our listeners, blind, deaf, or without sight.
I was going to keep a straight face.
Why are you guys
but,
laughing at this? But, I don't understand.
We don't have any deaf listeners, can we?
What?
That
joke. Comedy. Awesome. Classics.
But if we do have any blind listeners, we'll give you the contact info.
We'll give you the contact. Whatever. Here it goes.
It goes.
The Dharma Line.
At
206-338-4261.
That's right. It's the Dharma Line at 206-338-4261.
You could also contact using your hands. At dharmalars@gmail.com.
Send us an email using bits to convey information. check us out on MySpace. Check us out on MySpace.
And also, if you want to hang out with me and Ben, sort of, kind of, any day of the week, go to scottandsteve.blogspot.com. That's where we post
where
our theories
chat,
and chat and have our discussions to go throughout the day. scottandsteve.blogspot.com. And...
it's from those jerks at the Miyakum with ass podcast.
My stinky with nuts.
Burn.
Anyway, guys.
Thanks
subscribe
for
to our blog.
What's that?
Subscribe to our blog. We didn't even talk about the douchebag, which, as it turns out, is Ty Pennington and his dog Spot.
I don't know who Ty Pennington is, by the way.
He does the Let's Make Your House Better show where people cry.
Oh, is that the... Oh, okay, yeah.
That's where they build houses for
Extreme
blind listeners.
Extreme Makeover or whatever.
Yes.
Home Edition.
Yes.
Homo Edition.
No.
Home Edition.
But Ty Pennington is questionable. He's on the fence. All right. That douchebag.
Offensive boners.
That douchebag Ty Pennington showed up on this week's download on ABC.com of Lost, and I thought it was even funnier than last week's Scrubbing Bubbles.
Better than the Scrubbing Bubbles attacking.
Definitely better. So check out the picture on our blog at MySpace and subscribe to that because we put up funny stuff.
Yeah, and...
because we're awesome.
We're pretty sweet. So, anyway. Yeah. Right?
Well, yeah, that's it. I'm fine. I'm
done
stammering.
Do you have a one-liner to go out on this time?
Yes. Okay. No. Yes.
Yes?
But it's going to require participation.
Oh, and are you going to put me on the spot?
Yes, and you're just going to have to just go with the flow. You'll get it.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank producer Ryan for mixing the boards and telling me to keep my head straight.
And the rest of you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your Lost. Yeah, so from all of us here at the Dharma Lord's Mansion, take it away, Ralph.
What? I thought you said, I do mine first and then you
do
yours?
Oh, I'll do mine now if you want me to participate afterwards. All right, from all of us here at the Dharma Lord's Mansion.
Got it.
Lost a la vista.
Remember, Sully, when I told you I'd kill you last?
Yeah.
I lied. That's from Commando.
Scene.
You all, everybody.
Hey, Ben and Ralph. This is one of the actuaries from the Jay and Jack forums. You know, I've had a little interaction with you guys before. I called in with the Dharmalar's Rock shout-out before. But I just wanted to call in. I listened to your first official Lost broadcast recap episode that you had there, and it was great. You guys had a lot of great commentary and stuff, but the only feedback I'd want to provide is that sometimes I think you need to talk into the mic a little bit more. There was a lot of times where I couldn't quite hear what one person was saying, and then the second person was providing great feedback. So other than that, keep up what you guys are doing. You're rocking it on, so look forward to the next one. All right, later, guys.
Hey, Ben and Ralph. This is Bethany from Houston. I'm new to Dharma Lars, old Myakama Sasser, and I was just calling to give my input about the Tale of Two Cities. First of all, why was it called the Tale of Two Cities when we only saw one city? It bothered me the entire episode because I was so expecting that they were going to take us to both sides of the island, but they didn't. Anyway, my big idea that I haven't really heard mentioned anywhere was this where Christian Shepherd sort of went on his binge that sent him, at the very end to Australia? Is this where he started to go downhill when Jack beats him up? Is that the timeline we're dealing with here, or is there more time in between there and, you know, Jack going to Australia to pick up his father's body, or so we think? Anyway, that's my big idea for this episode. And I look forward to more great episodes from both Dharma Lars and My Awesome With That. And namaste. Bye.
Hi, Dharma Lars people. This is Jenny, or Servo3K, from the soon-to-be-known-by-more-than-three-people podcast known as The Lost Obsession. Your MySpace message said that I should call after the episode. I really don't know anything specific that I should say about it. I was just obeying. It was a good episode. That's about all I got. Oh, I liked the end with the Red Sox class and whatever. And I don't know. It was cool. Oh, and Ben, I mean, does this mean that, like, when you were born on the island, like, does that mean that, like, your old parents are there? Because I can't picture old people being on the island. Like, no offense to any old people out there, but, like, I can't picture, like, a grandma aged person, like, over 60 years old, being on the island. Like, I can't, like, see that. So maybe Ben off his parents or something like that, and that's why we haven't seen them. Or maybe there's a tiny little retirement center on the island right next to the big Kmart or something like that. I don't know. All right. I'm going to go to bed now. Because I have to go to school at like a billion o'clock in the morning. So, that's about it. All right. Bye.
Hi, Rolf Boner. It's Jimmy. Hope you guys are doing all right. Look, this ship between us and the initiative, well, this ship between the initiative and the evil, my own wife. Yeah, you know, it's difficult for me, mate, because I've got to like tread in both camps. You know, it's kind of turned into a bit of a minefield. And, you know, I don't want any trouble and all that, but I will say that it's getting to a point where I'm going to have to pick a side. You know, and listen, between you and me, I mean, you know, Amy really buys into this Merchant of Truth shit. You know, it's getting like a fucking cult over there. It's kind of strange. It's going to be a while before I go down there, right? Anyway, just want to let you know. I'll be all right. Cheers.
Episode 2 was sweet when Jack got to see if the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. It was cool as hell. Thank you. Namaste.
Hey, this is Jeff from Seattle. What I have to say isn't really a theory or a question. It's more of just a declaration. I wanted to declare that Saeed is the most badass motherfucker on that island. Out of everybody, out of the others, out of the back half of the plane, out of the front half, he is a badass. The guy is a gangster. And also, I wanted to give a shout out to Brenda in Seattle, because tomorrow, October 12th, is going to be her birthday. So, yeah. Saeed, badass. Later.
Hey guys, it's Amy in Little Rock. Thought this episode was a little bit weaker, but it had its moments. One of the things I thought of was that the others seem to address everyone by their name. You know, obviously they know a lot about everybody. They've called Locke by his name. They've called Sawyer James. You know, they've called out Kate, Jack, and whatnot. Yet, in this episode, Colleen referred to Saeed as the Iraqi. They didn't call him Saeed. So that was one of the interesting things I picked out of this episode. So wanted to see what you thought of that. Anyways, good luck with the episode. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.